Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. Last weekend saw another disappointing day for Wolves with a 3-0 defeat to Man City and also losing Nathan Collins for 3 games as well. So not a good day all around. We had our usual fun and games before and after the game and more travel woes, which I have a chance to discuss with Mick McQuillan and Tony Cullen this week. So I hope you enjoy it. Michael, how are you?
Not too bad. Anyone else in?
Due to get Tony Cullen is the only one. Johnny got in touch with me earlier on. He got back yesterday, but he's wrapped up in college. Yeah, he said he met Nathan Collins on the way home yesterday morning on the flight. He said to him that, you know, you should have gone in a bit lower on Grealish, you know. I could have told him that myself. But Gary's not able to join us either. So what time did you get home at on Sunday morning?
It was late enough because the bus was packed, believe it or not. So I was just as well I had booked the ticket on it, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them were coming back from bloody concert, you know.
Yeah. All right, Chef. The Garth Brooks last one was on, wasn't it, on Saturday night?
Yeah. And it was, again, the bus left. It had problems with the old card machine we had. And it was about, I suppose, it'd go at 10, the bus eventually didn't leave. It was about 5 or 10 past.
Yeah.
And I was home here now, about 25 past 2. But I had a cup of tea and that, and I get to bed about 3, so.
Yeah, I was the same. Now, my bus didn't leave. Well, it was about 10 to 5 to 1 by the time it left. And so I got home, arrived in the shop about 1:45. And I went straight to bed because it was 7:15 yesterday morning. I was practicing all day for over in Nice for the concert next Sunday. So, still not the better of it. Still not recovered today. Still tired, you know. Just as well, I'm a man of leisure.
Hanging around that airport for 4 and a half hours, it's absolutely drained you.
I mean, how many times did it happen to us for the Spurs game in Stansted, where we feckin' arrived early? You know, we deliberately got to the airport early, and then the flight been delayed. I don't think it's even a delay at this stage. It just seems to be their schedule. I mean, it's the same flight coming in from Alicante or whatever. Every week.
Well, you take it, Tony, that's about the 4th time.
Yeah.
It's been that much late, that one. And I spoke to the, where we were showing our board passes. And I said to the lad who was looking at it, and he said, listen, I had it last Monday, and this late flight. So I said, it's happening all the time. So why don't they just advertise it at, you know, 11 o'clock flight instead of a bloody, you know, 10 o'clock, 5 past 10 flight.
Well, I was thinking that, Mick, and the way I look at it is, from the Ryanair point of view, they're looking at it, if it's down as an 11 o'clock or a 11:15 flight, people won't book it because it's too late. They'll look for somewhere else. But a 5 to 10 flight is just on the borderline of saying, we'll get home in a decent hour. And, I mean, it has to be. Sure, I mean, it's been the same flight. I'd say if you looked at the schedule, it's not physically possible for the planes to be where they're supposed to be and to be in Birmingham at a 5 to 10. You know, I mean, it's too much of a coincidence every week that it's an hour and a half late.
If that plane has to go to the Canaries and then it's going somewhere else, and then it's going to Alicante, and then it's coming to Birmingham.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's hardly going from the Canaries to Alicante, is it?
No. No.
It's going somewhere else, and then it's going to Alicante.
They have the excuse. And I said to your man, but this is happening all the time. It's not just the one off. And it's not that. Time spent in the airport, that is so draining, it's unbelievable.
Oh, I know, and as I say, every everything starts closing down then around 9 o'clock, you know, and you're stuck there for, you know, till 11 o'clock with nothing to do. I mean, well, there's only so much coffee, I won't mention beer, but there's only so much coffee you can drink, you know. It was a good crew over the weekend, but like Jack Nocton came over and he was sitting chatting to us and he went off and he came back over again. So, I mean, people, it's airports aren't places to be hanging around for 4 hours when you're on a long day.
Not when you're hoping that you're not going to miss your bloody bus and then you have another bit of a journey after it, you know?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, plus, and the fact as well that, like, you know, we were on the go since 3 o'clock, 3:15.
yeah.
On Saturday morning, so it's a long old day. So before we get going, I was looking at I've been looking around, fishing around, Mick, for the Arsenal return. Coming back after the Arsenal game doesn't look too promising.
Yeah.
But unless we pay 80 odd for a return flight, I went on to Irish Ferries last night, and it looks like there's no they must be all booked up. I don't know. But I said no.
No, you won't book them. You're better off going with Denner.
And they're in the Dublin port, yeah.
Same crack.
Should I have a look at that? Should I have a look at everything? We're looking at trains. A train to London, and if the Gatwick was the cheapest I could find home, and I'm looking for a train from Wolverhampton over. I mean, you'd basically get into Dublin Airport at the same time as the ferry to get you back, you know. So you'd be traveling all day. So.
East Midlands there's no flights out of East Midlands though.
Well, I think it's just 6:30 in the morning, Tony. If you want to be trying to get over the East Midlands at that stage.
There is, but there's one.
We're staying the night, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But the one from there's two. From Birmingham, I think it's a 6:15 and 6:45. But like you can't get out there on a Sunday unless can you get to Birmingham after the match on Saturday night? Sure, if any Arsenal fans that are traveling are going to be on the train. So if you stayed in the hotel in the airport, you could get the 6:45 flight back.
Stay in an airport, the hotel in the airport on a Saturday night probably would be £100.
We'll have to look that up. Because the FAI Cup final is on, that's the Sunday, the 13th, you know, so afternoon. So I wouldn't mind getting back for that, you know. Shell's a good chance of being in it.
Well, I booked the hours of it, so it's a bit more time to walk in and see what happens, you know.
You're hoping, Tony, are you?
Ah, no, actually, Adrian McAvoy was on to me there. But he was going to the Arsenal game, but he said, he just sent me a message there about an hour ago. He says, I'll hold off on those looking for those Arsenal tickets, he says, because I'm hoping Waterford will get into the FAI Cup final, you know. He said, well, as a Shells fan, I says, I hope you don't. So he offered me, he'd get a ticket from me for the semi down there anyway if I wanted to sit with them, you know. So he said, we'll be the first time who's in the wrong end. I suppose on the bright side, the trip over on Saturday morning was like clockwork. You were taking a chance, Mick, were you, on that
No, the previous, because the airport's fairly clear now on the morning time, and I think I was worried the previous week, but not anymore, you know what I mean? I have a good hour to spend there, and they're fairly quick at getting you through now anyway, and the fact we're not carrying any luggage, you know?
Oh yeah, we were only about 15 minutes, I think, at 5:15. It was a great flight, was on time. We got the trains, we were in Wolverhampton about, 9:30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 9:10.
Yeah.
So we had our new spot now, the Sunbeam. We had a nice breakfast there, Mick, and me. In spite of the disappearing magic mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, I must have a chat with freaking Bruno. I want to know where he's getting his mushrooms from. I ain't getting them from the same supplier.
Well, he's definitely not getting them from the Sunbeam now, because, geez, I tell you, yeah, they were the ones you can see were all right, but there was, you know, the three little ones hiding under the egg, I suppose, and the bacon, but you know, you managed to find them anyway. Yeah, so we went to McGee's then for a few points. Good, nice view there, meeting the lads.
That was a good old crack, you know.
That was a good warm-up, because it would have been a 12:30 game. I didn't think we'd have that much time in the pub with travelling over, but it all turned out good. Just with getting on to the game, the lineup was probably about the only lineup we have these days, isn't it?
Before we get onto that end of it, Tony, the thing I thought was absolutely crazy, you didn't have the problem, but down in the South Bank, my seat, of course, is up in the higher tier. So they have to go up there the invalids or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And there was a big queue. Seemed to be a lot more than usual queuing the people there in their wheelchairs and all that. The normal crack is that maybe two of the wheelchairs gets in with three lads. That's the way it goes. So that's the normal route. But there was a big crowd for some reason. I thought what it was. And then when they got inside, and I got about five people away from the bloody lift, the next thing all of a sudden the lift went down.
Yeah.
This is about 10, 15 minutes before a good 10, 12 minutes before the kickoff, maybe.
Yeah.
I went down, and of course your man who organises there, people were asking what's happening, what's the story with the lifts, but he wasn't being honest. And next thing he was on his little mic and he was getting on to people higher up. He said he needed backup because he was getting abuse.
Yeah.
Down. And I said, you're looking for fucking backup. We're only trying to get up to our seats. You know? Yeah. And as it turned out, this fella then came down shortly after. Now, they were singing God Save the Queen and what do you call it? They were singing that and they were doing the in a silence. And then, you know, when your man came down and I was getting into the lift, and I said to him, what was the story with the lift? And he says, the foot was on the door upstairs. So they deliberately had stopped the lifts walking during the carry on when we were people were trying to get up. It was absolutely crazy. You know, but there's no doubt there was a big queue outside after I got up, and I was up there and I missed the goal. The first goal.
Yeah.
And I thought that was absolutely crazy, carry on. You know, listen, whoever had come up with the idea of stopping the lift, you know, Jordan, that got me boiling. And then when I missed the goal and nothing worked out after that.
It was funny because, like, the minute silence was happening, I mean, it was well observed in the ground, but you could hear, as I've heard before on other occasions, it was sounded like people outside the ground. You could hear noise. People kind of shouting.
We were shouting a few fucks.
Yeah.
Up, and then you heard people shouting there, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? It's okay for them. They were up in the bloody thing. We were stuck. And it wasn't that everybody was able to go upstairs, you know, and there were some really handicapped people in that area, you know what I mean? And no one telling anybody what... Your man obviously knew what they had done, that they were stopping the lifts. But it was annoying me that day, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was okay. Everywhere else was okay. Then again, I don't think there was any such thing as lifts when they built the Steve Bull, you know, so we never had that problem. But but we get on the match, just in it's the same with the lineup. There's not much you can say about it, really, this day and age, the way the players we have available. I just mentioned the start, what first half an hour was the death knell for the game, really, wasn't it?
Well, I think go on, Tony, go on.
No, I was just going to say the first 90 seconds, go on, Mick.
I'll be honest with you, I don't agree with that. I just think we were completely outclassed. We have a side that's far too light. It was men against boys in that game. And you've got to rid of all the big players. They're all gone. And they're out there, they out-muscled us.
Well, we won, it'll be coming in shortly anyway, I think, in the next couple of games. Big fella up front. Maybe we're starting to get big lads in again.
Well, you've got rid of Bali, you've got rid of bloody Cody, you've got rid of what they call a Saiz, you've got rid of Tendonka. You know, we just have a team of small players.
Yeah, that's what we have, Mick. It's a problem now for the next game as to who's going to go in instead of Collins. I mean, there's no question about the sending off anyway. That was straightforward, isn't it?
They're definitely that. We were pulled apart so much, wide open. For the goals and to me, we're in major trouble. I don't care who we bring up front. We could probably even Haaland off City and put him up front, and I don't think it's going to save us.
You don't think so, no?
No, the man hasn't a bloody clue. You play City, and then you get a man sent off. Fair enough, it can happen. And then you put your best midfielder back to play sweeper, and you had two centre halves on the sideline. And we didn't bring them on. It was midway through the second half, I think, when he made the change.
Yeah, and but do you not think, Mick, that you were going to take off one of the front men anyway, if you were going to bring on another, you know, a centre half? And I mean, in fairness, Neves did very well at the back. I mean, they didn't score 20 minutes ago.
But they ran the midfield. They were running the midfield. He should have took Podence off anyway. And certainly, forget about, but it's the start building. When you look at that game again, City had so many players all over the middle of the park, and they were strolling.
Yeah.
And our fellas would be knocked over and over, and that were, in fairness, they were trying to play ball, but I've never, well, it's a long time to have seen us so out of condition. The team is completely unbalanced, and he has the two centre-backs on the sideline. Now, what message does it send to those two lads when he puts the midfielder back in and lets the Manchester City run right in the middle of the park?
Well, I think Man City were going to run right in the middle of the park anyway, even when we had 11. So the fact that we only had 10, Mick, we were really going to be under it. And I mean, you know, the fact that they went two goals up in 15 minutes, the game was effectively over then. When Collins went off then, that was, you know, that was
the
definitely
the
end
of
it.
The reason they were two up in 15 minutes, The reason they were two up in 15 minutes, Tony, they were so much on top of us. They were all over. We had spent 2 weeks. We had 2 weeks to plan for that game.
Well,
and
Nick,
everything was out the window after.
I'll be honest, you say you didn't see the first goal, but I mean, to me...
I seen it on television.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a mistake. Nunes was on the touchline, the halfway line, and he passed the ball in for Neves. And a terrible pass, it went straight to City, and they went up. And
that was true. But what you want to look at is how we were set up at the back when the move broke down. You could, there must have been about 20 yards between Collins and Tillman. We were wide open. Now, if you've been spending, the previous 2 weeks playing, get ready for City, that shouldn't be happening that early on.
Well, Neves as well was out of position because he was over at that side, on the right-hand side, and the pass, if the pass had gone to him, we were on the attack. But, I mean, it was a terrible pass. It went in straight to City, and we were all caught out of position. I mean, Collins and Kilman were on the front foot because we had the ball, and we were on the halfway line. We were starting an attack. It caught everyone on the front foot. I mean, the second goal, Kilman did the old backpedaling trick. You know, he let Haaland run. Now, it was one-on-one. You know, if he'd tried to make the tackle, Haaland might have gone around him or whatever. But I mean, the backpedaling didn't slow up Haaland. He was just running. And
But there was no point in backpedaling, you know why? Because there's none of the midfield coming back to try and get at him. That's the idea of backpedaling, slow it down.
But he wasn't slowing him down.
No, there wasn't.
Huh? But they had to run in the midfield the whole game. It was that was an absolute sham of a performance. And, like, I 2 years ago, We beat this team three fucking times in the one season. There's no excuse for it. Like, the thing is, we are got two lights at the minute, and it's got rid of only the physical. You've got to have physicality in the Premier League to compete, and we don't have that anymore. Yeah, Pedence up front, 5'5", against the fellas at Manchester City. And you take your centre half out when the centre half happened, you take him out, and you just get them. They had the run of midfield, and people said, we played well, Sigland. Played well, they played the game on Wednesday. They were just a pedestrian. They were just knocking the ball about.
Well, they just took the foot off the pedal in the second half anyway.
Of course they did,
I mean, a great move for the third goal. At that stage, 20 minutes to go, we were thinking maybe it was going to be a lot worse. But, Tony, what were your thoughts on it overall?
Well, I'd agree with what Mick was saying. Like, we did have 2 weeks to get ready for the game, and I thought the game was over virtually after 90 seconds. Like, it was a bad pass in. It went behind Neves, I think, and it was a good flick by Grealish. Ignori was on that side, or was it?
He was on the left-hand side, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of got past him, and it came into the box. I couldn't actually see who scored initially. It looked like Haaland had got it, but
it was Grealish, yeah.
Yeah, but Grealish got it. Then for the second goal, I mean, I can't remember how it broke down, but Haaland, I'm not sure where Collins was. He seemed to be out
to the right.
Right back position.
He pushed it on, Tony.
I thought it was Collins that got caught, but he said Kilman was backing up.
Yeah.
There was nobody tracking behind Haaland to try and get the ball off him, and he'd loads of time and loads of space.
Yeah.
And he didn't even hit it terribly well.
No, that's right, touch, yeah.
I think even when Collins got sent off, I think there was a period of time where we were getting into the game a bit. I could see Pep on the sideline jumping up and down. I'd say he was a slightly worried. You know, we never really we'd one shot on target. I think that was Neto. I can't remember whether that was before or after the second goal. And then we'd another chance, and we put it over the bar, I think. And then Guedes had a good chance.
Pedence had a shot. Pedence had a shot in the first half. Past the post. But very kind of stop and start. Like we got an odd break now and again. Like as you said, the Guedes won the second half was a side foot, the cross, I think it was Aiden Nouri, put the cross in from the left along the ground, and he swung the foot of it, but he just sliced it.
Yeah.
It's
all very well letting Leander Didonka go to Villa. That other fella that we bought on the second half, like, he has to be, you know, I don't know why he didn't start him and beef up the midfield. I know he likes playing three up front, but we were sitting ducks, really. We should have had more in the midfield, because their midfield is just coming in waves.
Yeah. But actually, just on Mick's point of, you know, not bringing on a centre-half, you know, like bringing on the Traore fella, like my reason would have been, you know, just kind of, he put Neves back. He didn't want to disrupt the team that was out there. I thought it was a bit strange bringing on that lad with 10 minutes to go or whatever, you know. But his first game and his first time in.
I think certainly, like as soon as Collins got sent off, there was three fellas up, warming up. Two of them were our central defenders.
Yeah.
The two young fellas. And he obviously pushed Neves back temporarily. And I don't know whether that was the plan or whether that was just he decided to do that on the spur.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd leave it like that for a few minutes and then he'd make the change. And he didn't make the change. And then 15 minutes later, it was halftime. I thought, I watched who stayed out on the pitch at halftime. And none of the defenders, Semedo, or none of the two central defenders stayed out on the pitch.
Yeah.
They were all in the dressing room. And I said to the guy sitting next to me, I said, oh, he's going to make a couple of changes minimum for the second half. They came out and it was exactly the same. So he obviously thought it was working and he was hoping that Neves played well where he was. He was passing the ball around pretty well, but we never really looked like getting it back into the game, really.
Yeah.
We bit of possession here and there, but we didn't really create any chances. And, you know, if we're not going to get any goals, you can't concede two or three goals.
No,
off the bat, you know.
No,
but Tony, I think like what you have been saying there is what I've been saying for months. The man hasn't a clue how to make changes or what changes to make. Now, in that game, like okay, we're two down with a man down. Was that not the time to throw in the likes of the two centre, get them set off? Couldn't cause any much more damage. These lads have played already. They're not greenhorns. They're playing international football.
Yeah, but
they have played in the league. They played, what do you call it? They thought he had three or four excellent games for us at the, what do you call it, the last crit.
Like, last season.
I'm talking about during the last eight. Now, what's it called? January, February, and he was outstanding in a couple of games that
I think, Tony, I
don't go with that. The other thing was, I thought was absolutely crazy. He was playing Neto on the right side. The right side, the left footed player.
I said that.
Tactically, he hasn't a clue. Yeah. And that's why it takes so long to make changes.
Well,
halfway through the second half before he made a change.
Well, the two things, Mick, on the two lads, centre halves. I mean, they haven't played this season. I don't know. Throwing them in would have been because we've had Collins and Kilman playing fairly well.
Professionals.
But I think, if Toddy
came on, Kilman would have to move across. So that's two changes.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be forced into the bale tree at the fucking back.
And he didn't want to put Mosquera on.
Yeah. He has to be eased back in, I'd say, because it would have been such a hamstring problem that he has. But I mean, on the Neto, Mick, I agree with you on Neto. I said it to you. I've been saying it for a while. I mean, I'm a traditionalist of, you know, if a left footed player plays on the left hand side and a right footed player plays on the right hand side, if you want to switch them around and do which we've done under Bruno and under Nuno, where he'll play Traore on the left, Neto on the right, and switch them over after 15, 20 minutes and that. But Neto, I mean, twice. Just from the top of my head, twice I remember in the first half, near the end, where he cut in from the right, and he went past one player, he went past another player, and he just didn't give himself an angle by the time he tried to shoot. I think the second time the ball was actually taken off him before he got a shot. But I mean,
yeah, but Tony, I agree with you what you're saying there. But listen, I watched the match back again, okay?
Right.
And two things that was very, very noticeable to me. Ike Neary was playing at the left. City had identified him as a danger.
Yeah.
And I was looking at what people... There was a time City had three and four fellas around when he started his run.
Yeah.
And as you say about Neto, when Neto started that jingle, that run you're on about.
Yeah.
See how quick the lads lined up behind. It was 1, 2, 3. They knew they were danger.
Yeah.
And they snuffed them out. And we looking at it from, you know, at the match, they say, oh, Jesus, Neto walked up. What the fucking thing? There was no one looking for the ball.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He ran out of space, you know?
Yeah, but I did, and I could see it from where, in the state bowl where I am, Mick, you could see in the first half, City, that they're so well organised, they're so experienced.
Yeah.
They had, for their goal kicks, they had three players on the edge of the penalty area. we were still taking the short goal kicks, which, and Sa, I don't think, is a great man for that, because a lot of the time he was panicking. Jeez, I thought in the second half, he actually sidestepped one of the City players at one stage when the ball went back to him. But, like, I mean, you could see where I was from the side. I mean, City, it's like as if they're all tied together, and they move as a unit. That's something, not only ourselves, I mean, all the other teams outside the top four or five are striving to do.
Well, Tony,
that's something that we were doing for the last couple of years under Nuno, but it's gone.
I had to change, mate.
Pep Guardiola said, going back last year, year before last, you play against the likes of Wolves, the players. Those players are so tactically astute. He says, it's a different ball game with them. Now we don't have that because we don't know what we should be doing. And that's quite obvious.
It's going to take time, though, Mick. You know, I mean, we've a new team. You're talking about Saiz, Bolly. You know, these lads are in their 30s, you know. And you had to, sooner or later, it had to be done.
Tony's 29. Thing is, they're still playing well. We have a player playing 37 years of age. Don't go with that one, Tony.
He's 26.
What you do, you build up your squad, Tony. You build up your squad. We're getting rid of the players. Bring these fellas in. Okay, I understand that. But then give them a chance. But we've got rid of the whole centre-back, the whole setup, and we are a shambles. We are a feckin' shambles. And I said this going back last March, that if we didn't get rid of them then, we were going to lose these players. And we've done that.
Nah.
I
mean, Mick, we didn't lose players. We sold them. You know, I mean, they didn't run off somewhere. I mean, we decided that
that's
was a decision
what I'm
made.
Saying. Why do we get rid of them?
You'll have to ask.
Why do you break
you'll have
up?
To ask Fosun.
You'll ask the manager, why did he spend 5 months walking on, 5 weeks pre-season, walking on the fence that there wasn't broken? And then when we all knew the problems were up front. Now, we've started, we're 7-8 games into the season, and we still haven't got a feckin' centre forward.
But we have now.
On the pitch.
We will have. Yeah. We only signed him last week, mate. That'd been our problem.
The question. Why wasn't this done in June? No, July, August.
Mick, because we bought a centre forward and he ended up on the scrap heap. After the first match.
I told you 2 weeks
match.
Before he bought him that he was a fucking Anderton, Anderton.
Well, there you go. you were right on that. I'll give you that one, Mick. All right. But I mean, you can't predict. What I mean, Johnny got two ACLs in a fucking in the space of a year.
I understand that.
This can happen. But Mick, we've been struggling for a centre forward since Jimenez got injured. Which is 2 years ago now. We've been trying to fill that gap. And I mean, it's the hardest position, I think, in any team to fill.
I know, Tony, we're struggling on Saturday for centre-halves.
But we had two on the bench.
That's what he said. And the only decision he seems to know or is a remedy for rectifying the situation. First man on the pitch, fucking whine. I wouldn't use him as a fucking sling.
I think Bruno knows you. You know that. That's why he's doing that. He's only putting Wang on to wind you up. You know.
He took off the dance and put on fucking Wang. Holy fuck!
Well, at least we increased the size of the average size of the team anyway when that happened. But anyway, come here.
He did run around. Though, in fairness.
Huh?
He did run around a good bit.
Yeah, he did.
Got nowhere near them.
Yeah. But anyway, the next match coming up with West Ham, we 2 weeks before that. So our new signings should be well settled in at that stage. West Ham are going through a bad old patch. So which do you think of the two? Are you assume the only change in the team will be Collins' replacement? Which of the two do you think will make it, Totti or Mosquera?
They probably put fucking Wang in there. that seems to be his answer to every fucking problem we have, you know. I don't know, Tony.
What do you think?
I honestly don't know because I haven't really seen much of Mosquera. I saw him for about 10 minutes against Tottenham.
Yeah.
And he went off and he had a bad injury. He seems to have a bit of a hamstring issue.
Yeah.
But he obviously is 100% because he's obviously back. But I don't know. I think Totti is he left-footed? Is he?
Yeah.
He's a left centre-back.
Yeah.
So he'd have to move Kilman over.
Yeah.
I don't know, Kilman.
Yeah, I think he might do that because, I mean, Kilman played on the right-hand side a good lot, didn't he, last season?
We had three at the back, five at the back, yeah. So I think he might do that. I think he might go with Totti on the basis that he's probably a little bit more experienced.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's a better defender than the other fella. The other fella probably is a bit more raw.
Yeah, I think he'd probably ability, him, yeah.
Maybe prone to a mistake. I think, I'm not sure we're going to be playing around quite as much at the back.
Well, you know, you asked a question there, Tony. I didn't answer earlier. If we're playing West Ham, I'd play both of them along with what you call it, Gilman, and I'd have the three of them at the fucking back.
Yeah.
And give the fellas, put them back into the midfield. And let's start fucking building from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's well,
those lads are good at that. They know they can play that back three.
But he might do that.
And Mascaras.
Yeah. Huh? You might do it, Sean.
Yeah, but even if it fucking pays off, then he has a fucking red face, isn't he?
No, he's still in the job. He's still having a job.
I don't see him doing it. No.
I don't see him doing it, but
he did it last year when we you know, we lost the first three games. So, you know, he might
He changed
the formation.
He started with three at the back. It was just who was the first game? That was we won, was it Watford, was it last year?
Oh, last season, yeah, the first game was away, yeah. Huang scored.
Yeah.
I just thought I wanted to get that in, you know.
But, I know, Jesus.
Anyway,
I that's what I think you should do. You should do this next weekend, whatever, and let the three of them in there. Because Mascara, Tony's he's a Colombian centre half, and he is a very, very good player. Yeah. But he did come with that injury, and it was never right, you know.
Yeah. Just before we finish, we've our AGM on Saturday, as you know. Just wanted to mention it.
That
you'll be there, Tony. You'll be there, yeah.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, isn't it? Yeah.
1 o'clock in Maurice and O'Connell Street. I think we seem to have a good few promised to be there anyway, so we're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. We won't be waiting at a fucking plane home anyway, you know.
You never know. I know it's international weekend, so it'll be a break for us all. Hopefully our beloved team will be firing on all cylinders then. We'll see you on Saturday. And
All right.
Thanks, Emil.
All right, no worries.
Good luck. Now, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.